Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
ESPN 97.5.
KFNC and 97.9 HD2 Mont Belvieu, Houston. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. Time to learn about everything happening during the world's biggest tournament. It's the World of Soccer with Glenn Davis.
Score! Presented by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Breathe well, live well.
Now back to John and Lance inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
And we are being joined today and every day at 8 a.m. by Glenn Davis, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Center. I will be going right after the show to have that balloon sinuplasty procedure. I'm looking forward to that and getting some relief from these sinus issues I've had. But I will be in home in time to watch the U.S. as the anesthesia wears off. I'll be able to watch the U.S. and Australia. Match number 2 in the group stage goes today at 2 o'clock. The watch party is going to be here at East River 9. But if you were going to watch on television, get in front of a TV to watch, because there's a lot of excitement about this team. But the big question right now, Glenn, is whether or not Corey Pulisic will play. And I ask that because they've been very coy about his rehab and his training, and he's been doing it by himself. And I asked Dell earlier, you know, if you weren't working out with the team in football, for example, in American football, if you're not practicing with the team all week, it's highly unlikely you are going to play. You'd be listed as doubtful for the game. What is it like in soccer? What is the likelihood that he plays or even starts?
Well, first off, it's completely different than football because, I mean, he's already been inserted into the team. He knows how to play with his group of players. So it's very, very different from that standpoint, that you can have somebody training on the side and not involved in contact that will start. I think he's going to start. I think psychologically, Pochettino would want to start him. I think, you know, it all depends on the severity of the injury. Because we know how important he is to the team. And, of course, with him on one side of the field and Dest on the other, it's a pretty nice partnership you got going on with those guys doing their thing out wide.
Glenn, in the event that he does not start, but the U.S. still wants to play the way they played against Paraguay, as far as the attacking nature, the fluidity, we saw what happened when they were up 3-0. They brought in Berhalter, they moved Tillman to around. What would be the likely replacement for Pulisic to keep the same type of a flow that they had?
Well, I know people are throwing out Gio Reyna, but I don't know if he's that fit, to be honest with you. I thought before he scored the goal, he looked kind of sluggish. And you don't want one of your, you know, players at the start of a game against Australia having to work his way into the game. So I think it might end up being, you know, Berhalter, and there's some alteration of the midfield. I'm trying to think of the U.S. roster right now, but I think Tillman's role becomes a little bit bigger. But we'll see. I mean, not really sure. I would think it would be Berhalter comes in and, you know, you kind of work through that. He won't come into that exact position. And maybe he changes his midfield a little bit. Not sure.
Glenn, you told us before the tournament even started, before the World Cup started, that all three teams inside the group would test the U.S. physically, that they would try to challenge their toughness. What can we expect from Australia in that regard, and what are your and what have you seen from the? I feel as though, and it depends on which, you know, which ref you get in which match, but I've seen a lot of them that are really letting them play through and play on, and are not biting on every single time that a player
hits the turf, that's probably not great for the U.S. if they let it get physical, is it?
If they let it get too physical, probably not, because I think, obviously, Australia, I think, is going to try to break the U.S. rhythm through physical play. No question. Look, like we might have said on the show yesterday, referees around the world have a different definition of what a foul is. It's not standardized, right? So in South America, Asia, different parts of the world, referees call the game differently. So it really is dependent upon who the ref is, and then you have to adjust to the way they're calling the game. But look, I mean, the U.S. expects this, so they got to live up to it. Let's face it. They know they're going to get a physical game from Australia. How you deal with that is you get the ball off your feet quickly. You don't allow people to tackle you. You switch the point of attack. You keep it moving. And a moving target's harder to hit than one that's static.
For the people who are locked in because it's the World Cup, because it's here, and they were given a show in the first match against Paraguay, you scored the goals. It's very exciting. What can you expect as far as not the score line or even the result, but what can you expect as far as how this game will go? How will Australia come out? How will the U.S. have to play? Because I know once you see that score line, you think you're going to get that in the next match. I don't suspect that'll happen. What type of game will the U.S. have to play against this Australian club or squad?
Yeah, by the way, it just came to me, too, the question you asked. Timothy Weah could be somebody who gets a start here today. That's an obvious one, so I missed that. But how do they play today? Well, I think you have to come out and play exactly the same way you did the last time, more of the same. You have to be aggressive. This is your style of play. Nobody's going to probably drop off against Australia. And like I said, you got to keep the ball moving. You got to switch the point of attack to break down a deeper defending team. Can't be hesitant to shoot from longer range to pull a defense out. But the real thing I think the U.S. has to be very careful of today against Australia is transition. And I think they got a guy, Aaron Kunda, up front that can absolutely fly. He's a young kid. He's 20 years old, scored one of the goals in their win over Turkey. And I think they pose a much more formidable transition game simply because of him than Paraguay did. So what does that mean? That means probably Anthony Robinson is going to be very selective when he goes forward. I don't think you want your two outside backs going forward at the same time and exposing center backs. So there's going to have to be some adjustments there to deal with that. But, I think it's a game the U.S. is in possession. You got to match their physicality. You got to keep the ball moving. And you got to do more of the same and keep that momentum and energy going. But you have to be very, very smart when the ball's lost. You have to have good starting positions defensively so that you're in a position to put out fire. So Robinson, Tyler Adams as the six is going to be very, very important as a shield for the center backs today.
I am really fascinated about how, just speaking with you this morning, I'm really fascinated how the U.S. comes out, because you'd like to see them just as creative and aggressive, but at the same time, if Pulisic doesn't start or in fact is not going to play, and you do have a team that can counter with some speed, I do wonder how the U.S. will approach this match. You've got one in the books. I wonder if they are going to be a little less on the front foot and a little bit more, you know, a little bit more about game management instead of attacking in this one. Is that, can you speak to the manager whether or not that is his personality?
Well, there is always game management, but I think you've seen a transformation, Lance, from Mauricio Pochettino. This is not a team waiting for the game to come to them. What they've set the standard as in their opening World Cup game is to be, as a U.S. national team, a very aggressive, forward-thinking team. Now, that can change with the opponent, but we do know that Australia generally sits in the mid-block or lower block in their own half of the field or in and around the halfway line, and at times they're going to get a little bit more aggressive and try to press to maybe surprise the U.S. I mean, nobody sits back the whole game. They they try to take a risk at time in certain areas of the field and apply pressure. And, you know, maybe after seducing people into a lot of possession, then trying to nip in and win the ball and get off in transition. But, no, I don't think it's going to change. I think Pochettino wants us to maintain being an aggressive team. I think, for me, that's the only way to go today because you're building off game one. I think every game we know that there are people in transition that can hurt you, whether it's Sweden and Jokeres and Isak or whatever team. There's always front runners, for the most part, that can be a vertical threat. So, no, I think it's more of the same. You might see a little bit more game management, but you know, you can't keep up the intensity of that first 45 minutes for an entire 90 minutes, that's for sure. So there are moments where you're going to have to look at the game a little bit differently.
Yeah, for the first time in, I think, my adult life, I see a U.S. team who's much more comfortable attacking than sitting back and playing defense. There are some potential leaks there, particularly if Australia's guys up front get loose, but yeah, I'm with Glenn. I think they need to be on the front foot to control the game that way. And then, of course, if you get up, then you can start to manage the game. As far as what happened yesterday in regards to their CONCACAF rivals, you had Canada taking apart Qatar or Qatar, depending on how you want to say that, and then the game I thought would be the most interesting turned out to be a bit of a dud when it came to Mexico and South Korea. A mistake by the Korean goalkeeper led to Mexico's goal. They win the group. They advance. Can you speak to the performances of CONCACAF, at least yesterday? What did you see from Canada? Was that simply based off the opponent they played and also Mexico's performance against Korea?
Yeah, I think the Canadian result is a little bit embellished because of the opponent. That said, they still went out and scored a bunch of goals, so that's good for them. It's good for their confidence. Jonathan David hit for a hat trick. He's European-based. I saw Mexico win a game. Not impressed with this Mexican national team. I think I told you guys yesterday that I spoke to a former Mexican national team coach, and he is a personal friend of mine, but he also is not high on this group. Wasn't really feeling it. I didn't think they played very well, to be honest with you. They won the game on a mistake. And it's pretty amazing that you can play two games and not really the best football aesthetically or, you know, from the standpoint of being dangerous in attack. And you're already through to the next round, and you're going to get to play the next couple of games in Mexico in front of the home crowd. So Mexico's still looking to morph into something better, but the fan base is going to be happy after that. But I was not impressed. South Korea, the Korea Republic almost tied it up as well.
Yeah, that was great goalkeeping at the very end on those headers. I mean, they got after it the last 3 minutes. At the 87-minute mark, what phenomenal saves back-to-back from the goalkeeper. Did a really nice job there. But it was interesting. I know what you say. I know what you're saying about being a dud, Dell. But it was one of those things where I thought, boy, whoever scores first, this is probably over. I don't know if they can put two goals on the board the way. And of course, once they opened it up a little bit, there were more opportunities. But
and that was Raul Rangel in goal, who, by the way, made that save. I mean, it was almost gratuitous the way the ball came to him after the initial save
the second one,
which was great. But you know, goalkeeping was a point of contention for Mexico going into the World Cup after the injury to Luis Malagón. So you know, that's a good confidence building piece for that position for their national team.
Before we let you go, you got Netherlands-Sweden. That's going to be my first World Cup match ever. I'm very excited about that. Very excited to be amongst the Dutch and the Swedish fans. Give us your thoughts on that, and because you're calling all the matches that are here in Houston. What are your thoughts on that matchup?
Super excited for this game. This could determine the group. The Dutch are disappointed after conceding late against Japan. So we're going to see what Virgil van Dijk and Denzel Dumfries and Frankie de Jong and Cody Gakpo and company are going to do against Sweden. Sweden's riding high right now. They put a thumping on Tunisia. Great attacking pair with Victor Jokeres and Alexander Isak. Isak played with Liverpool. Isak has scored already. These two are looking for each other. They certainly were in the Tunisia game. And then, you know, there's a lot of names people know from the Premier League and things like this. But for Sweden, their game's going to have to go up a notch against the Netherlands. I expect the Netherlands to have more of the possession in this. So tactically, I think Sweden's going to have to change it up a bit. But you got big stars in this game. You got guys coming off the bench like Memphis Depay. This is going to be interesting. Netherlands, the big issue for them right now is who's going to score goals for them. They got one of their goals off a corner in the last game, but, you know, there is a little palpable tension in the Netherlands about, you know, who is our goal scorer and who will emerge. They're probably thinking it might be Gakpo, but as a striker position, it's been Malum and Memphis Depay playing in there a lot. So we'll see, but this is a great matchup. I'm really, really excited about this one.
Glenn, we appreciate we're excited about the U.S. Matchup today against Australia. We appreciate you coming in today and previewing that for us, and go enjoy yourself in the matches, well, especially the one tomorrow, as we're back at it here in Houston with a couple of great soccer. Should be a great matchup.
Yeah, and by the way, there's that big Dutch Orange March. Good luck with the you're going to be breathing better by the time the U.S. game starts, so that's a good thing. And a lot of positive. I'm really looking forward to the U.S. tagging that great opening performance with another one today against Australia.
Yeah, for those who don't know, the Dutch are starting at Rice at their stadium, and they're going to march all the way to Reliant.
Houston Stadium. Yes.
And thanks, Lynn. We appreciate it. It should be a fun time. Obviously, you have to have – I mean, this has to have already been – set up in advance in terms of, so you're going to have some roads that are, you're going to have streets that are blocked off clearly. That's a long walk too. It's like a couple miles. So it's not going to seem that long if you're, well, it's going to be pretty hot. So
yeah. And if you take Lance's approach, maybe there'll be a struggling Dutch girl who's falling behind the pack and you can make your move.
He's not Gwen Stefani.
I don't know. It's a herd. Early it's 90s. A herd heading to Reliant. Who knows? 90s. Or Houston Stadium. Who All knows right. who falls behind?
We're gonna break it right there. When we jump back in, we'll get back to it. Update you on the Astros, what it's looking like this weekend for the Astros as well, right here on ESPN 97.5. This.
This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at East River 9. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. So, as mentioned, we've been talking about the World Cup. We're here live. You can watch the U.S. versus Australia at East River 9 with us. The station will be here throughout the day. And it's a great place for golf. Par 3, driving range. They've got pickleball. They've got a lot of food and drink. Great TV set up here. Really, it's just a very, very nice spot if you haven't been. Highly recommend. But also the Astros. If you are following the Astros, which you are, and it's not maybe you're not maybe as excited. But look, they took the Royals series. They took the Tigers series. So they've won 4 out of their last 6. Now they have Cleveland. Cleveland is a better team than you saw against the Tigers, to be sure. The Astros are going tonight. It's a 7 o'clock matchup. Imai is pitching for the Astros. And let's see. It is supposed to be. Here's the matchup. You've got Eric Geddy. So Imai versus Bibby. Eric Geddy versus Cantillo. And Tang versus Cecchione, right? Is that how you pronounce it? So I wouldn't say you got Eric Geddy, who hasn't been pitching well the last 3. Imai was bad his last time out, was horrific last time out, but the previous 3 weren't bad, and then Tang, who has kind of fallen off as of late. So those are going to be your 3 starters. 7 o'clock tonight, MLB Network. Tomorrow is going to be a 6:15 start, and then on Sunday, on Father's Day, you got a 1:10. So if you're looking for Father's Day action, maybe you want to go out, check out a baseball game. I know I'm going to run by my man Michael over at Pete's Fine Meats, has
steaks and flank steaks and ribs, and maybe you're going to grill like I'm going to grill. I'm going to Pete's and going to load up on some meat. And I trust myself on Father's Day. I don't really trust others, so I'll just do that. Although Father's Day is not crazy at restaurants. If you've ever worked at a restaurant, I don't know if it's still like this. I assume it is. Mother's Day was an absolute mess. Everyone took their mom out for Mother's Day. It's the busiest day in the restaurant world. And it was a long time ago when I was a waiter, but man, people would wait, you know, hours, and then they'd be pissed off because they're waiting for so long, and invariably it gets warm, a little warm. Oh, it could. Father's Day, it's like, psh, no problems.
What do you want for Father's Day? What do you want to happen on Sunday as opposed to what might happen? If you could pick, since it is your day.
I mean, every day I'm kind of left alone to watch whatever shows I want to watch, so that's not a problem. So probably I'm actually going to think of something I'm going to force my kids to do.
Okay.
And I'll use Father's Day and, like, force them all to have a family event.
So you want
I'll actually do the opposite of what people think, like, dads just want to be left alone to have their own day. I'm actually going to force my kids to do something, like maybe bowl or something like that.
So you would like to have a family event?
Yeah, because I got kids all going off to college, and they're all, you know, the problem is at some point there will be fights started. No matter where we go, there's going to be something that happens.
Can you get them not to fight on Father's Day?
It's not possible.
All right.
Father's Day, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, birthdays, it doesn't matter. At some point, somebody's going to make somebody mad, and then my wife is going to say, why do we even do this? And I'm going to say, this is a waste of my money. And then, you know, and then we'll move on.
Well, so,
and then we'll just start over the next day.
So you think your plan's a good one?
It's a plan.
Since you can already foresee the problems.
I want everyone to have fun and laugh and be happy.
But you know
and all
that's not going to happen.
I know it's a bit of a long
shot.
So
you can foresee the problems coming and you still want to have it happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to take a shot. This is Father's Day. I'm going to force y'all to do something you're uncomfortable with, which is doing things as a family. We don't even eat anymore. Mason's like, I'm good. I'll eat whatever I want, whenever I want. I'll just come home with Canes or Chipotle or whatever he's doing. So, I'm forcing everyone.
Does he ever say,
bowling.
Hey, guys, I'm stopping at Canes. Anybody want anything?
No, no. Not with his own money. But what he will say is, I'll say, hey, I made a pork tenderloin. Or, hey, like, I made ribs the other day from Pete's Fine Meats. Hey, I made ribs. Oh, I'm just going to do something with my girlfriend. We're probably going to get something to eat. Like, can you eat at – you ever want to not spend money on fast food? Just once maybe?
He has to balance things home. Out. Hang out with my family and eat, or pay for food with my girl. He's going to choose
second
option.
He always chooses that. Snacks is smart. I'll eat at home and save my money
because
I'm trying to get a car. So Father's Day, they've got – my man Michael's got you hooked up there. And then baseball, if you want to get tickets there, that would be a nice Father's Day. Some people like doing that on Father's Day. Come out here to East River 9 and get your own Father's Day. Maybe you and your wife, or maybe you and your sons or daughters, if they play golf, you can come out here and do something out here at East River 9. That might be something nice as well. College football. So I gave you the Astros heads up. Protect College Sports Act. It sounds as though college sports is like you've got to, like they're being assailed by predators, is what you would think, because it's Protect College Sports Act. Cody Campbell from Texas Tech, who cares about the mental health of young people? He's been a big one. He's had television commercials here. Well, this federal bill to reshape college sports is headed to the Senate floor, marking the first time during a year-long effort that the full U.S. Senate will have the opportunity to vote on a proposed solution to some of the issues facing college sports. Now, I've been saying this for a long time. College football, you better be careful, or college sports, you better be careful, because if you keep acting with no guardrails and you just keep going, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. If you act like pigs, you'll be fine. If you act like hogs, the U.S. government is going to – the government's going to intervene. It's just going to happen. And now we have the protect – because they couldn't control themselves and they couldn't create any guardrails and they constantly lose in court to the point that a guy who gambled on football and his own team was going to be allowed to play college football. This is the insanity that's going on. The Protect College Sports Act, spearheaded by Ted Cruz, Republican, and Maria Cantwell, Democrat – would provide the NCAA with an antitrust exemption so that it could enforce a cap on payments to athletes, as well as rules related to eligibility and transfers in college sports. And it also creates an opportunity for schools to sell their media rights to one large entity rather than on a conference-by-conference basis, which is intended to help fund less profitable sports and close a significant financial gap between most of college sports and then the two biggest conferences, SEC and Big Ten. When I look at this, Dell, all right, well, let me get your thoughts. What do you – the Protect College Sports Act, I don't know all of the caps on payments. I think it's basically going to be where they just at least have a number. And they do currently have a number. I don't think this will have anything to do with NIL. I think NIL will still be a workaround because players are going to have – I would imagine they're going to have rights to their own name, image, and likeness. This probably has to do with revenue share would be my guess. They want to stop multiple transfers. And I think the reason is because you have so many players – look, this is another pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. There were way too many players and agents who were using transfer portal as – a free agency mechanism to leverage new deals year after year after year. And I think they're just trying to create some level of, look, here's the rules, here's the guidelines. There used to be rules, then it was anarchy. We want to get to some rules. I don't personally think this is going to be as detrimental. People act like the players are going to head into poverty now with any kind of cap. That's simply not going to be the case from what I understand. The money is still going to be pretty significant and for in some cases life-changing for the best athletes in college sports.
If this, the problem for me is all of this is based off of money. I don't know that these particular politicians or the officials in college sports, whether it be at the NCAA level or the presidents of universities or the ADs of universities, whoever's involved in pushing this forward, care that much about this other than, hey, it'll limit spending. If I thought it came from a place of genuine concern for the direction of the sport, it would hit differently with me.
Do you not think the people who bring this bill forward, you think they care about the spend? Like, I do think that there are lawmakers who look at this and say there needs to be some guardrails. Like, I think there are some people who are concerned about the health of the sport.
I think there strikes me as a bit disingenuous.
Okay.
Because is it unhealthy for a college football coach to make upwards of $10 million
a
year?
I think so. Personally, I think that that's gone
unhealthy
out
for
of control.
The sport? Because I think it all trickles down. Hey, I'm making $10 million a year. I need to do this to keep my salary. I need to do this to keep winning because if I don't win, I lose all this money. Now, you get fired if you don't win anyway. But I think it all comes from the top down, and the money that got to exorbitant levels for these coaches has led to what we have now, because at some point the players, whether they got smart or they were informed enough, said, hey, this can't be right. You can't make this while I make this as far as a stipend and scholarship and all that stuff. We can have those arguments if we want.
Right.
So if I remember correctly, there is nothing in there that says a college coach should not be making this amount of money.
No, correct? And I have argued in the past, I think any bill should also enforce college contracts for coaches.
And that too.
I'm not going to be inconsistent. I'm consistent with my vantage point on this, and this includes coaches. You are right. The biggest problem is this happened because coaches were able to negotiate new deals year after year after year if they wanted to. We saw it with Jimbo Fisher. We saw it with Kevin Sumlin at one point where he had three contracts in 4 years at Texas A&M. Jimbo, we know that he leaked it. I may go to LSU. You know, his agent threw that out there, and then A&M freaked out and didn't have confidence in himself, so they gave him a bunch of money, and now they're paying for it. You know what? From now on, if you have a contract, there can be stipulations that you cannot renegotiate that contract until it gets inside of 3 years, something like that. You cannot just – I mean, it's not normal necessarily to get down to the last year or anything, but there needs to be – why do you get a new contract and then you renegotiate the next year or 2 years after because you've won, because you have the ability to?
Well, I'm paying you to win. All you've done
right.
is fulfill your obligation.
Exactly. And, you know – in pro football and pro NBA and Major League Baseball, they can't just get out with a buyout. Only in college sports, and especially football, do you have buyouts as a mechanism to bypass and circumvent a contract. How about you make contracts enforceable? If you want to limit, which I think there should be limited amount of transfers, like pick the school you want to be at, and then if it doesn't work out, your playing time, whatever the case, make your transfer. If you want to get one after that, you have to sit out a year. If you want to limit it to 5 years so that guys stop trying to get 6 years out of it, because what's happening is a lot of college or high school players are not getting scholarships that previously did because they're just using portal players and they're not signing as many high school players because guys have gone 6 years deep using a red shirt and injury, trying to use injury. And some of these injuries are not – They're not really viable, and that's one of the reasons it's been going to court, although they typically lose, but they did win with Joey Aguilar. The Protect College Sports Act, there's the Big Ten and SEC already said, we continue to believe revisions are needed to secure our support because they want to deliver meaningful protections for student-athletes and lasting stability for college sports. We would all like that. Let's see what they end up coming up with. All right, we'll break it. It's 8:33 here on ESPN 97.5. If you have any questions, you have any comments on any of these topics, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.
I thought I had it all together, but I was led astray. The day you walked away, you were the clock that was ticking in my heart. Changed my state of mind.
This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at East River 9, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Childish Altuve says, I'll take a good breakfast for Father's Day, then they can go back to ignoring me after that. I'm cutting the grass on Father's Day. Yeah, that can be some of it. Daryl says NIL counts in PCS is basically the House settlement plus antitrust protection and changes on TV revenue. The private equity out could be problematic as well. Private equity is now in at Utah, is the first place private equity has been in college football, and that should concern all of you because they're going – well, some of you aren't going to care. If you don't really care about college sports, you'll just say, great. Just turn it into international soccer, because that's kind of what it is right now. Is college football is basically following international soccer. They just don't have as much Saudi money in it yet, but give it time. The PIF needs something new now that LIV is cratering. Speaking of LIV, we'll get to golf. I need to give you an update. We've got, obviously, the U.S. Open is going on right now. Wyndham Clark shot a 64 yesterday. He's even after five today. He's still in the lead by three strokes over Max McGreevy, Matt Fitzpatrick, Dustin Johnson. And then you've got four tied at two under for the tournament right now. In terms of guys who are blowing up today, having big – Colin Morikawa, my guy, Dell – is three under after six.
You have an update on Tony Finau?
I don't even know if he made the tournament.
Oh, that's tough for my guy.
Tony Finau, yeah, no one, I don't even see him.
He's even.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh, Tony Finau is actually doing better than I expected. John Rahm.
Nah, take that back. This is a previous tournament. I don't know what Tony Finau is doing right now.
I don't even know if he's doing that. Yeah. John Rahm is even after three. He shot a 68 yesterday. It'd be nice if John Rahm's in the mix. Dustin Johnson. They've got some good names here toward the top. Where did Scheffler? I didn't see what Scotty Scheffler shot yesterday. Obviously, wasn't great. He's kind of fallen off a little this year. He's not been in. He was in the mix at one, but I've got Xander Schauffele if you need that. But there's Scotty. He fired a 72, two over. So this is considered a pretty tough course, and you've had a Wyndham Clark fired a 64 at it yesterday.
I'm just
par 70
to see Charlie Woods on the course.
Caddying?
Yes, for Miles. When does Miles? Oh, Miles is, let's see, he's plus two today, looks like. He's plus two overall. So Charlie's, I don't know how much he's helping Miles right
now.
Not
bad. Tied for 45th. Yeah. He was plus two yesterday. Not too bad. Well, actually, it's not bad at all. he's still in the mix to make the cut.
Yeah, so whatever's going on.
But Charlie may get a stay at the U.S. Open a little longer.
But is Charlie Woods actually his caddy? Because I didn't check in yesterday to make sure that he was out there.
Oh, was it just for the practice round?
They thought he might be out there to caddy for him through the U.S. Open. But I don't know if that happened.
This will be a quick one here. Here's some more golf news, although this is not really related to golfing.
He's not on the bag.
He's not? I no longer care about that
kid.
It'll
be Miles Russell's swing coach, so I don't care about Miles Russell anymore.
Well, he could probably help him more than Charlie.
But that's not fun. It's not fun if his swing coach is on the bag.
That's like you wanting LeBron to be a towel guy, a water boy. It's like you wanting Jordan's sons
to be like if I wanted Bronny.
That's what I said.
You said LeBron. If I wanted
LeBron's son,
yeah,
I said
sure,
yeah.
Sure,
it's the same thing.
But it's a little different because we kind of feel like we know how Tiger would look at it. I don't know how LeBron would look at it. I don't even really want to see Charlie Woods being a caddy. I want to watch Tiger watch Charlie Woods be a caddy.
You're not going to get that.
I'm not going
to. I don't think Tiger wants to be on any kind of television right now.
No, I think he's away right now.
Your guy, Phil Mickelson.
My guy.
A lawyer for Phil Mickelson says a 6-time major winner resigned from a country club near San Diego where he's accused of inappropriate contact with a female employee. Now, his people have said anyone who talks about this is getting sued.
But I can at least read the story, right?
I'm just letting him know. I'm not making any accusations against Phil. I'm not even joking about this. It's not funny. And I just want to point out that I'm simply reading an AP story here. So don't sue me. Golf Digest last week reported that Mickelson was no longer a member of the Farms Country Club and that the golfer was asked by club management to leave the course during his round after the employee reported the allegations of misconduct. Tom Clare, a defamation lawyer hired by Mickelson, said the golfer later resigned from the club. The story broke at a low point for Mickelson. He withdrew from the Masters and PGA Championship this year, citing personal health matter with his family that kept him out of all but one of the 9 LIV golf tournaments. The one major golf tournament that has eluded him, the U.S. Open, where he's been runner-up 6 times, is going on right now, and he is no longer eligible to compete after running out of exemptions. Wow. Golf Digest cited sources in reporting Mickelson approached the woman in the clubhouse and made non-consensual and inappropriate physical contact with her. The woman rejected his advances and reported it to her supervisors. So, that's what's going on with Phil right now.
Yeah, no, don't offer an opinion. Just read the story.
Keep
it moving.
That's apparently what is going on with Phil. Did you ever have the McDonald's fried apple pie that was one of the hottest things that on the earth, on the face of the earth?
I'm aware of the damage it could do. But
delicious.
I'm not a fan of hot fruit. I don't eat apple pies. The regular ones, I don't like peach cobbler. I don't like hot fruit. I'm out. If your fruit is warm, beat it.
Huh. So you're not doing grilled pineapples for sure.
Not a chance.
You don't like warm? You don't like apple pie with ice cream?
I don't like cherry pie? Is it warm?
Yeah.
Then no.
Oh, what about room temperature?
I don't like baked, heated up fruit at any point.
If it cools the room temperature.
Don't want it at any point. I'm out.
So you'll drink like a strawberry icebox pie. You'll have that.
Maybe. I don't even really know what that is, but sure. Yeah.
It's cold.
If you baked it at any point, I'm out on it.
Okay. Well, they're bringing back their old school.
Or deep fried it in this case.
Yeah. They're bringing back their old school deep fried apple pies.
Are they putting a warning on it?
Yeah, they have to. They've been sued for having coffee be too hot. Yeah. So, yeah, you have to. You know who's never been sued? Piping hot pepperoni pizza when the cheese comes off and you're drunk and you're trying to have pizza late at night.
No.
And that hot sauce burns the roof of your mouth and blisters your mouth. I've never seen them get sued for it. I've never seen Big Pizza get sued.
Have you seen I forgot who it was, but they did a thing based off of race about how people treated hot food. I think they had for the most part, like, white people will blow on their food, and that's how they cool it down.
Or you just take a bite and you go,
yeah,
and open your mouth, even though you know it's too hot.
The stereotype for black people was, we don't really care how hot it is. We're just going to use our mouth as a coolant.
See, that's what I do.
And, well, And I hate to lean into things and say they're right, but they're right. I do that.
That's what I do. I just – I know this is hot. I'm still going to try. I'm still going to see what happens.
I know this is hot. I know I'm an adult. I should make sure it cools down. But, no, I'm just going to put it in my mouth.
I didn't know that was a black thing.
That's what the – at least that is what that person's put together. And it struck home, it struck a chord with me because that's what I've done my entire life.
That's what I do.
I don't wait on it. I just go, you know, I know this is hot, but the roof of my mouth will take care of this and it'll cool it down and I'll keep moving. I'll keep it moving.
I kind of think of that. So, yeah, sometimes that's kind of how I think of it. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm going to try it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it anyway. I'm sure if I just open my mouth, the heat will just leave and then it will cool down quickly.
My father used to say, you've got a freezer in there because I would always do it and not be bothered at all by how hot the food is. So I don't
well,
know.
Well, maybe you're just kind of a weird – maybe that's your superpower. Well, other people can do good things. You can
It's a terrible superpower.
Eat really hot food.
And not be bothered. It's been my thing my entire
temperature
life.
Temperature hot, not spicy.
I like both. Yeah. But in this case, yes, we're talking about the temperature, not the spice level of it. You're not a spice guy, are you?
Yeah. Okay. But to an extent. I mean, I don't mind spice, but I've got a cutoff. I'm not trying to be
I'm
Thai.
I'm not trying to be pink.
I mean, the Thai people will warn me at a restaurant.
You told me that they have – are you sure you want the real stuff or do you want it coated for white people?
They almost – yeah, they'll say, we'll do white spicy.
White spicy.
And I just say – and one time I said, come on now.
That's
give me
ridiculous.
At least, I said, give me at least medium spicy. And my hair was sweating. Mm-hmm. And I realized, they know what they're doing here.
Yeah, they understand.
Thai Gourmet, rest in peace, RIP, pour some out for Thai Gourmet. They knew what they were talking about. They knew what they were talking about.
I'm a spice guy. I don't want to get hit with, are you sure you want the regular spice or the medium spice?
Well, as soon as I heard that, I know I don't.
Yeah,
they're giving me a warning. I need to listen.
You, then they can see that you're going to have a problem. You might want to take their warning to heart.
All right, let's break it here. We come back more. Trevor Sikkema from, he does like a million different podcasts. He was with, he does NFL football, NFL draft, a lot of football. He's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour and talk a little ball with us. We will do that. Do you know who his wife is?
I believe you've mentioned it, but I have.
I never knew.
I forgot.
It was like he'd been married for over a year. Alyssa Lang, sideline reporter for ESPN SEC Network. I never knew that.
I had this conversation, yeah.
Yeah, I think we did. It's 8:49. We'll break it right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.